Well, hi and welcome to Gisborne Church of Christ as we continue to do church online in this short lockdown that we're facing. So please continue to connect with the different activities in the church, which we're trying to keep everything going pretty much as normal as we can. So check out our newsletter and Facebook page to find out what's happening. But today, just continuing our short series titled Who's in the Mirror? And asking this question, when we look in the mirror, who do we see? Because the Father wants to close the gap in self-perception that we have from what we may have learned growing up and been conditioned by our history and experiences, and start to identify ourselves as much as possible as the person who He says we are. And this is the lifelong journey of the transformation of our mind, or of changing the way we think to bring it into line with God's declarations about us and what He says about us. And so in the context of this, we've looked at three issues that contribute to self-perception, or we've looked at one. We looked last week at the question of value, what am I worth? Today, I want to touch on the question of identity, who actually am I as an individual? And then next time, look at the question of ability or capacity, what is it that I am actually called to and able to do as a person? So last week, we established that the true measure of our value is not about our achievements, our appearance, our race, our wealth, and so forth. The actual true measure of our value is the price that was paid for us. And the true measure of our value is actually Jesus Christ. So it begs the question, can we change the way we think so much that we look in the mirror and say to that man or woman in the mirror, my true value is the price that was paid for me. My true value is equivalent to the blood of Jesus, and that the Father loves me as much as He loves Jesus. Pretty powerful stuff to get your head around, but this is the revelation of God about our value as people. So let's just continue this morning and look a little bit about this whole issue of identity. So why don't we just pray and invite the Holy Spirit to speak directly to our hearts, to keep us focused in and around His word this morning. And we don't just want to accumulate information, we want to actually be transformed and changed. So Father, we just come in Jesus' name and we invite You to invade our thinking, to open our hearts, to remind us of things we may have forgotten, and to cause us to see ourselves and identify ourselves in the way that You do. So just come and be with us in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, often we do look in the mirror, and we want to be able to say to the person in the mirror, I am who God says I am, and I can do the things that God says I can do. I can be the person that God says I can be. And so the verse that we've used for this out of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and several translations we mentioned last time, but just the J.B. Phillips translation is quite powerful, where it says this: don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. This is so that we may prove what is His good and acceptable and perfect will for us. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed and changed by the renewing of your mind. And it is an internal work of the Holy Spirit that we cooperate with, that will cause the way we think about ourselves to be changed and to align with what God says about us. And often there are big gaps in perception here. God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, and he protested, no, I'm only a youth. God looked at Paul persecuting churches, and he saw an apostle to the Gentiles. He saw a person that could take this message far and wide across Asia Minor and Europe and produce half of the books in the New Testament. So there was a big gap here between who these people thought they were and who God saw them actually to be. So going through life, we have labels that identify us. Some of them are okay. You know, I could say, you know, people could say, like, I'm a plumber, I'm a businessman, I'm a farmer, I'm a doctor, I'm a mother, and these kinds of things, which just are fairly harmless. But there's other labels that we put on ourselves that really are contrary to what God says about us. We might say, you know, look in the mirror and say, you know, I'm a loser, or I'm an idiot, I'm an addict, I'm a criminal. And these things will conflict with what God says about us. And he wants us to strip away some of these labels or perceptions of ourselves that are contrary to who he says he is. And we're going to look a little bit at a passage this morning in Ephesians chapter 1, 1 to 14, which you might want to look up later and read more thoroughly. But in this passage, the scripture says that I'm blessed, I'm holy, I'm chosen, I'm an adopted child, I'm a joint heir with Christ, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit, and over in chapter 2 that I am unique and needed. So we have these statements that the scripture makes about us that are quite lofty, quite powerful, very captivating, and God wants our thinking to become aligned with these things which he says about us. And I recall as a new Christian going through a discipleship training program where we actually took off or spoke out and prayed off the labels, the nicknames and things that had been said about us and over us, and started to embrace the things that God says about us. And you could see, you know, shifts in people's lives as we did this. And, you know, over the years, you know, you can, you know, go through struggles or difficulties and maybe re-embrace some of these things and start to think of yourself in the old way again. And you need to renew your mind and bring it back to, hang on, who is it that God says I am? Who is it that God says I can be? Who is it that God, what is it that God says that I can do? So he begins this letter and he labels the people in Ephesus as holy in chapter 1, verse 1 of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus. Some translations use the word saints. And this is the identification that comes from God through scripture about you and me. God sees us as holy people, his holy people, or saints, people who are set apart and consecrated to him. This is the idea of holiness, and it's an imputed state that says, like, you know, regardless of the fact that I'm still growing as a person, regardless of the fact that I still need to change, God doesn't look at me as a sinner. He looks at me as a saint. He looks at me as a holy person. Now, if you go into chapter 4 and following of this letter to the Ephesians, he will unpack a lot of things that we need to work on in order to walk worthy of the calling that we have. But the foundation comes through revelation that even if you're just embarking on the Christian journey, even if you're stumbling and you're wrestling with failure and you know, some issue of temptation or some struggle, or you know, you're a triumphant believer with 50 years of service to God, God identifies you as part of his family and as a holy one and as a saint. So the question comes, can you look in the mirror? And having so changed the way you think through just listening to what God says about you, say to the mirror, in God's eyes, I am a holy one. I am a saint. He then goes on in verse 3 with this passage that will go down to verse 14. And he begins this with this exclamation of praise. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He seems pretty excited about what he's about to share, what he's about to write. He hasn't only identified us as holy ones, he's identified us as blessed. And this blessing has taken place in the past. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So We are actually appropriating what God has already given to us. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, which would take a life's journey to unpack this. But we have this picture in the latter part of Ephesians 1 and on into Ephesians 2, where he talks about how he raised Christ up and seated him in heavenly places, far above the principalities and powers of this world system. And then in chapter 2, it says he's raised us up together with him and seated us with him in Christ. So if you get the beautiful pictures in Daniel 7 and Revelation 5 of Jesus being brought into the throne room and handed authority and handed the kingdom, we're included in that. And this is pretty mind-blowing stuff, but God has raised us up and blessed us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He then talks about in verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So when God looks at you and God looks at me, he looks at a person who he wants. He looks at a person who he's chosen. It harks back, you know, to the Garden of Eden, where he went looking for Adam and crying out, "Adam, where are you?" When Adam and Eve had stumbled and sinned and walked out of that place of intimacy and blessing, God is immediately seeking to restore the relationship. And Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, 16, he says, "You didn't choose me, I chose you and called you to go and to bear fruit and fruit that will remain." So we have this idea of chosenness. We have this idea that the Father wants you and me to be part of his plan. This is our identification. And this is so contrary to what many people feel about themselves, feel maybe rejected and overlooked, or left over, passed over, unqualified, unsuitable, ignored, and moving us to a place where we feel chosen, handpicked, selected, wanted, and special. Because God can make you feel like you're the only person in the room, even though he has millions and millions of kids. This sense of chosenness, of being wanted and affirmed by him, is a very powerful thing. So, you know, the question is, can you look in the mirror and not only say, "I'm a saint, I'm a holy one," not only say, "I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places," but to be able to say, "I am a person who has this thing of chosenness around me. God has chosen me. God has chosen you in Christ to be part of his eternal plan." And this is amplified even more as as he goes on and says in verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. So now, you know, we shift not only from these statements of status, holy, chosen, blessed, but now we talk about this idea of adoption as his children, adoption to sonship. And we've looked recently about the fact that this is a status in God's family. And whether male or female, Jew or Greek, slave or free, we have this identification of sonship or as a mature member of God's family, with the resultant authority and the resultant intimacy that comes with us and with it. And so out of this place of sonship, out of this place of adoption, the Holy Spirit begins to move in our lives, establishing intimacy with the Father, from which we can cry out by his Spirit, "Abba, Father." Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. The Spirit of sonship in our hearts cries out, "Abba, Father." So now we can look in the mirror and say, "Hey, not only are you valued as Jesus Christ, not only are you holy and blameless in his sight, not only are you someone blessed and chosen, but you are God's adopted child. You have been called into this place of intimacy and authority in his family." So then we have this further issue of inheritance, that we have an inheritance in Christ, to have a resurrection body, to be part of his eternal kingdom, that he is actually the firstborn from the dead. And it says in verse 13 of this passage in Ephesians 1, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So we have this idea that we are set to inherit something. We are inheritors. And in Romans chapter 8, he unpacks this a little more and says, we are heirs of God and co-heirs or joint heirs with Christ. So that if we share in his sufferings, we may also share in his glory. And the incredible thing about these statements, and maybe this is one of the reasons that Paul wrote this passage from a place of praise and excitement and exuberance, is that God in his wisdom has made Jesus the firstborn from the dead, but has called us to participate in the fullness of Jesus' inheritance. So we are co-heirs with Christ in all of the glory that will unfold in the ages to come. And also springing out of this same statement, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And so we have this reality that in God's eyes, each of us are worthy because of Jesus' sacrifice, because of the cleansing work of his blood. We are worthy to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to participate in the life of God on a daily basis. In fact, in chapter 2, he says, chapter 2, verse 22, that we are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And in Ephesians 5, we're given this option and this choice that we can actually step into this place. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we are a people who are able to drink in and be filled and saturated and empowered by the Holy Spirit, who has sealed us for the day of redemption. So can we look in the mirror and say, I'm inheriting everything that Jesus is inheriting in his resurrection, and I am worthy to be filled with the Holy Spirit. These are truths that are unfolding about our true identity in Christ. And the final point that we could mention this morning is that we are unique, and we are all needed in God's plan. And he hasn't made us like little cookie cutter Christians all the same, but he has chosen each of us, and he is working in our lives to unfold our uniqueness and empower our uniqueness and cause us to complement one another and to complete the picture of the body of Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So not only are we holy and blessed and chosen, not only are we adopted into God's family, not only will we participate in Jesus' inheritance, not only are we each of us a temple of the Holy Spirit and collectively a temple of the Holy Spirit, each of us actually has this individual uniqueness, this workmanship of God in our lives, that we are prepared for good works. And if God wants you to be you, God needs you to be you, God has chosen you to be you, he's chosen me to be me, and we need to embrace the place and purpose that God has called us to function in, so that his the work of his body can be completely the way that he would want it and not have things missing, because nobody else can be you. If you don't be you, and if you don't pursue the call of God on your life and allow the Holy Spirit to transform and change you and to bring out your uniqueness, nobody else can fill that gap. And Paul talks a lot about this in the New Testament, particularly in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, when he sort of unpacks the description of the gathering of believers as a body with all these different parts, and says, you know, the eye can't say that the foot is not needed. We're all needed. We all complete the big picture of who God is, of God, what God is wanting to do through the body of Christ. So we don't need to be in competition with each other. We need to complement each other and complete the big picture. Competition will only ever devalue you. Comparison will only ever devalue you. But embracing your identity in Christ will bring you into the fullness of who you really are as a person. So then we come to this question, you know, can we look in the mirror this morning, or can we invite the Holy Spirit to help us to change the way that we think, so we will more and more look in the mirror and say, I am a person who God says is holy. I am a person who is blessed, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I am a person who is chosen to be part of God's eternal plan. I am a person who has the status of an adopted child in the family of God, with the accompanying authority and intimacy that that brings. I am a joint heir with Christ, so what he is inheriting, I am inheriting. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit individually, and part of the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is God's collected company of believers. And finally, I am someone who is unique and needed. I wonder how many of these labels, if you like, that come from Scripture, that really identify who we are. How many of these are in conflict with some of the things that we actually think about ourselves? Do we need to do like an inventory of the labels and understanding and names and perceptions that we have of ourselves, so that we can dismiss some of these, we can pray them off our life, and we can really embrace the things that God says that we are? So I guess we could ask this question this morning as we close this time together. Do you have beliefs about yourself that conflict with God, with what God says about you? Well, transformation that the scripture talks about in Romans 12 and also 1 and 2, and also in Ephesians 4, 22 to 24, talking about this process of transformation. The consequence of this is that it will change the way how you feel at the deepest level. It will go beyond like biblical information, and you could listen to what the points are that I've shared today and go, yeah, that's correct, that's biblical, yes, and tick the boxes. But that's only partly what God is wanting. Yes, we need to have that mental agreement, but we also need to come to the place where we actually feel like that's who we are. We actually believe that's who we are, and we live out of that identity that God has given to those who are part of Jesus' death, resurrection, ascension, and glorification, who have believed into this transforming process. This is what will enable us more and more to live by faith and bring a self-perception that aligns not only our thoughts but also our feelings and harmonizes them with what God says about us. So sometimes we need to, you know, just be praying, you know, that Father, you know, I reject the thoughts and feelings about myself that oppose what you have revealed about my identity. And, you know, I want to embrace the fact that I am who you say I am, and I can do the things that you say that I can do. So we'll go on and talk about our ability and capacity next time, but in terms of value and identity, these are some of the points, and of course there's many others in Scripture. There's so many things that God says about us. But to start to, or continue to, or revise the way that we think about ourselves and start to embrace some of these things, very liberating, very empowering, and very transforming. So let's just close with that verse from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 in the J.B. Phillips translation. And don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your mind from within. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So let's just pray as we close. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's powerful, that it carries, Lord, the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And when the move of your Holy Spirit and your written word converge in our understanding, Lord, we're able to embrace so many things that you say about us and you want to do in our lives. So, Lord, we just pray for that revelation, Lord, that peace, that clarity of understanding to come to us as, Lord, we set ourselves to live out the lives that you've called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen.